But is, what is our Misora? And I gave a share on this 4 years ago, I think, the concept thereof, and I said a little bit of it then, but I found something from Rabbi Chanan Wasserman's son, from Simcha Wasserman. You just know Rabbi Tversky, Rabbi Chaim Tversky was in the Kollel in L.A. before he came to Chicago in Los Angeles. That's really how he met the Rosh Yeshiva, how he met Rabbi Friedman, and how he eventually got to Chicago is that when Rabbi Friedman came, he suggested that Rabbi Tversky should come as well. So Rabbi Tversky was in L.A. He heard this directly from Simcha Wasserman. I have it only in the transcript, right, which is in the new two-volume set from Rabbi Chanan Wasserman or Simcha Wasserman. There's a Sfarim on Chumash. It's an amazing piece. Just, it's something that we all should know. It's an information piece more than anything else. In Idios, in the first parak, it seems that Hillel used to say the word Malei Hin. When talking about Mayim She'uvin that will pass a mikvah, if you have 40 sa'az of kosher water in a mikvah, you can put anything else inside there and it won't pass off the mikvah. Pretty much anything else inside there. The mikvah is fine because it's got 40 sa'az of kosher water. Anything you add on to it is not going to be a problem. However, if it is 39 and a half sa'az, 39 and three quarter sa'az, and you fill it up with three lugin of Mayim She'uvin, three log of this drawn water, if you put that in, right, that will pass the entire mikvah. If that's the final hammer blow of what makes it 40 suz, that's going to pass the mikvah. Hillel's line is a mulei hin. The amount of a hin of mayim she'uvin will pass the mikvah. That's what it's going to be over there. Now, the Gemara, it's really the Mishnah itself says, why would you say it is mulei hin? Why not say it is three lukin? And the Mishnah's answer is because chayiv adam lomar b'lashon rabo. A person is chayiv to say in the lashon that his Rebbe taught it to him. Hillel's Rebbe, does anybody know who Hillel's Rebbeim were? Rebbeim, Shmaya Naftalim. Shmaya Naftalim were Hillel and Shammai's Rebbeim. So Hillel heard the word Malei Hin from his Rebbeim. So even though that's not the measurement that people knew about, and that would actually confuse people, people wouldn't know what he meant. Nonetheless, Chayiv Adam Lomar B'Lashon Rabo. Now the Rambam in his Perush Mishnayos, when speaking about this Mishnah in Adias, he says, what does it mean Chayiv Adam Lomar B'Lashon Rabo? Because Shmaya Naftalim were Gerim. And they didn't have the language that could say certain letters, certain words. So when they would say the word Malei Hin, when they said the word Hin, it did not come out as the word Hin the way you would pronounce the Hey. They said it in the way that you would pronounce almost as Ein, as in Aleph Yud Nun. The way they pronounced it was off. That's what Shmaya Naftalim did. So here's the Chiddush, says the Rambam. Hillel, when he told over the Mishnah, Hillel was not the son of Gerut. Hillel comes all the way back from a line, from a scion of generations, all the way back from David HaMelech. Hillel would say it as Hin. But when he would quote his Rebbeim, quote the Mishnah, he said it as In, with an Aleph, just like his Rebbeim used to say. And everybody asked, why would Hillel mess up the word and say Hin as In just because his Rebbeim said it? Says the Rambam, Chayim Adam Lomar B'Lashon Rabo, you have to say it what your Rebbeim said, and even in a mistaken way that your Rebbeim said it, even if your Rebbe has a speech impediment, you have to say it as your Rebbe said it with the speech impediment. That's how the Rambam says it. Now the Gra, the Vilna Gaon, asks the question. He says, that doesn't make any sense. You make a mistake, all of a sudden you have to quote it as is? That makes no sense. Why would you have to do that? He says that Shmaya Naftalim were saying the word in, and because people were getting confused, they thought they said, because you look at the Lashon, Ein Malei Hin Posel as a Mikvah. Right? In Posel and as a Mikvah. It doesn't possible the mikvah. The word that in would be aleph yud nun. That's what people thought they were saying. They added on the word mole, says the Vilna Gaon. They added on the word mole, and they said mole in posel as a mikvah to make sure that everybody knew that we're not saying in as in aleph yud nun ein. We're saying in as in hin. They wanted everyone to know that, and that's what they were trying to do over here. But the Rambam's strange. The Rambam's very strange. Are you really chayiv? Like, for example, if I have a list and I don't say an S really well, do you have to, when quoting me, say everything I say with a th sound? Is that what you have to do? Let's say I can't pronounce a ches correctly. Are you not allowed, when quoting Gemara, to quote the ches correctly? What if the Vilna don't ask it? It's an obvious question. What does the Rambam mean by this? So the Simcha Wasserman says, in order to answer the Rambam, he wants to give us a bit of a history lesson. Up until now, you may have thought that Rebbe Yehuda HaNasi put the Mishnayos together and allowed the Mishnayos to become what they are today. So you might have thought to yourself, you'd say, well, there was just randomness. Everybody learned whatever they wanted. And Hillel was the first person to gather all of the different statements. Hillel, Rebbe Yehuda HaNasi was the first person to gather all the statements together, take a statement from here and a statement from here and a statement from here, put it together and create what we know of as the Mishnayos. That they were the first persons, the first people at that time to really make what we know of as Mishnayos today. And that's what Rebbe Yehuda HaNasi did, putting it all together, which is an unbelievable task. But it's not true. That's not what Rebbe Yehuda HaNasi did. It's true that people were forgetting Torah. It's true they needed a different order to put together the Mishnayos. But that's not shot in what Rebbe actually did. What did he do? So the truth is, Mishnayos, the process of making Mishnayos, and the creation of something that would be easy to remember for generations to come, had been created all the way from the times of Moshe Rabbeinu. Mishnah, as is, existed from Moshe Rabbeinu on. And there are certain Mishnayos that may have been written by Moshe Rabbeinu himself. We don't know if they were written by Moshe, or Dora Midbar, or by Yehoshua, or by the other Nevi'im, or when they were written, but there are certain Mishnayos that take on this special, I guess you'd say, accreditation, that they belong to earlier generations, and Rebbe Yehuda HaNasi just brought them in, and put them in with the other Mishnayos that he created, or other Mishnayos that were made in other generations and put in order to it. So let's explain. If you look at Bava Kama, the first three Mishnayos, there's a bunch of problems with all of them. Number one, the language is written in what the Gemara calls in Daf Hey, a Lishna Kalil. A Lashon that's very concise. A Yerushalmi, that the Tana Yerushalmi, who the Tana was from Eretz Yisrael, and he wrote it in such a way that it didn't make any sense. In contrast to any other Mishnah is in all shops. You look at any other Mishnah, then you look at Bava Kama, you have some major problems. Lo Hare in the first Mishnah in Bava Kama doesn't work like any other Lo Hare in all shops. The word Chav, Chav instead of Chayiv, Chav Hamazik, does not appear anywhere else in Shas. It doesn't appear in any other Mishnayos. There are certain Lishonos in those first three Mishnayos that are there. There are no Machlokas in those first three Mishnayos, even though Maveh, the definition of Maveh, if anybody knows what I'm referring to, Shor, Bor, Maveh, and Hever, Maveh is a major Machlokas, what it's talking about. Rav and Shmuel, right? They all argue, is Maveh referring to Adam? Is Maveh part of Shor? What's going on over here? It's a massive Machlokas. But in the Mishnayos themselves, there is no Machlokas. It's weird with Shonos, worded in a way that's not like anywhere else in Shas, and referring to things that should be Machlokasim, and the Tanoim should have argued about, but they don't. There's no Tana that mentions anything. Ezu Makoma, which you say every morning during your Korbanos. During Ezu Makoma, in the Mishnayos, there are no Machlokasim whatsoever. It's one of the reasons why we chose that Perek. It's an entire Perek without one Machlokas. There are no Tanoim quoted throughout all the Mishnayos. Not only that, it's clearly not talking about the Beis Hamikdash. How do I know it's not talking about the Beis Hamikdash? By certain foods, it says you have to eat them, the shlamin, for example, litnim minakloim, inside the curtains. Now, what do the curtains refer to? The curtains refer to the walls of the Mishkan. The Beis HaMikdash had actual walls that went all around, that surrounded around Har HaBayis, the Chel, around that area, there were walls. There were no curtains. The only curtain in the Beis HaMikdash, by the first Beis HaMikdash, would have been the Parochas. Nobody eats inside the curtains of the Kodesh HaKadoshim. So the curtains that we're referring to in Ezo Mekoman are the curtains of the Mishkan. Now tell me, if you are Rebbe Yehuda HaNasi, writing the Mishnayos 150 years after the destruction of the second Beis HaMikdash, why would you have written that you eat inside the curtains, which only applies to the Mishkan, which had been gone for over 1400 years before that? That makes no sense. Why would you do that? It doesn't make any sense to do that. See, there are other Mishnayos. He gives a list. Peah, Perek Zayin Mishnah Hey, Olos, Tetzvav Chet, Zvachin, Dalid Aleph, Psachin, in the very, very beginning, or Kilayin, Dalid Aleph. Each one of them has an issue behind it in which there is no way it could have been written by a Tana, or certainly a Tana, or even generations right before that, and say that it was written by them. It had to have been written earlier by someone of a previous generation, possibly by Moshe Rabbeinu himself. There are certain Mishnayos that are clear that way. If that's so, then we have a different idea of what Rabbi Yehuda Nasi did. In fact, there's a Rashi in Erevin, about Kaf Aleph and Beis, that says Shlomo Melech had his own Mishnayos. There were Mishnayos written by Shlomo Melech. And although we might not have those anymore, those Mishnayos might be gone, we may have lost them over the annals of time, and we might not have them. Regardless, they existed. Rashi said that Shlomo Melech had them. There were certain ones that are right there. Says Rabbi Wasserman to be able to explain, there was some Wasserman to be able to explain this. He says there's two inyanim of Torah Shebaal Peh, two different types of our Mesorah in Torah Shebaal Peh. What are they? Number one is literally subjects, inyanim, a Mesorah of what everything means. And then there's another Mesorah of nuschaos, a nusach, a certain amount of words that explain something. Now let's go through each one. Every certain student back in the day had to learn things that his Rebbe would tell him. His Rebbe would say to him, here's the concept of Peah. Let me tell you everything you need to know about Peah. And they would have discussions. And the Rebbe would bring up the subject together with Machlokism. He would bring up the subject with all the information that you needed to know how Peah works. You'd get everything from it. You'd get the entire subject, the way it goes. And you could learn that for days, weeks, months. You'd spend an entire year on one subject, the same way that we do today. We spend an entire year on brachos, an entire year on Shabbos, an entire year on Bava Kama. Spend an entire year on one subject to explain that subject to Kamin Chove. And in there, you don't have to memorize what the Rebbe's saying. Every student takes from the Rebbe what they think he means, and every student listens and says, I think he means this way, I think he means this way. They would discuss it with one another. They'd ask the Rebbe if that's what he meant. The Rebbe would come back and tell them what he really meant or how to be able to word it differently, etc. But everyone would do something. There would be discussions between one and the other. That was one thing. And as long as the subject matter is intact, it didn't matter regarding the details necessarily. Some people might come out with mutter in a certain case. Some people might come out with usher. They'd go up to the Rebbe and they would say, well, I'd say mutter in this case. I'd say usher in that case. All of those things are what we call the Mesorah of Inyanim. And there are Inyanim that go all the way through. And the Rebbe would help them understand how to get every single thing down, every Inyan down, so they'd understand it. But then, there's another part of Nusach in which you have to memorize what the Rebbe said. What that means is like this. It's not enough to know basically what he said in this case. There were certain words, we'll call them code words, that were used as Mishnayos. And those Mishnayos, before Rebbe and after Rebbe, although Rebbe put Siddurim in, so they knew what seder these Mishnayos would be in, what order they would be in, right? Everybody would have to sit there and memorize exactly what his Rebbe said. This is not in Yonim, in which you know the basic idea. This is one line, or a Mishnah, an entire, six lines, all together, whatever it would be, in which you have to say exactly what he said. You have to have the right nuances, you have to write the right stoppages, you have to say exactly the words that your Rebbe said, even if those words don't fit all the way through. Now we clearly need both. The first type of Mesorah is very dangerous, because let's say you only learn in Yonim, and everybody, it's up to you to be able to figure it out. At the end of the day, you're going to have more Machlokism than we even have today. Because there's nothing to base yourself back on. There's no automatic, here's shots right over here. You can just keep going, and you could mess up on the most obvious things because you missed the beginning of an Indian. If one guy is sick one day, which I know never happens here, but if a person gets sick and you miss one day of yeshiva, there is no way that you could do anything for the rest of your life. You have no idea what your Rebbe said. Even if you ask someone, the guy is not going to be able to tell you exactly what the Rebbe said. He's going to tell you his definition of what the Rebbe said. When it comes to an Yonim, if there's nothing else to it, that could be terrible thing for everybody. On the other hand, the second is problematic, because if you're only dealing with words that you have from the Rebbe itself, you have no idea how to bring that to the next level, to add on to it. You just have words, and everybody's just memorizing. Everybody's going all the way through it. Plus, aside from that, right, there's no way to memorize everything. You can't. Simply put, you can't. It's hard enough to memorize a Masechta, let alone every Seder of Mishnayos, let alone if there was nothing but the Seder of Mishnayos, to learn the Inyanim as well. And that concept soon became, it's not like Rebbe Yehuda Nasi made this up. This concept became, by the times of Moshe Rabbeinu, to be known as Mishnah. That's the Misora of Nusach, of trying to get down the Nusach of what your Rebbe said. And Gemara, the Misora of understanding Inyanim. And they went together. The Inyanim were learned together with the Mishnah. The Gemara was learned together with the Mishnah. Rabbi Yehuda Nasi, all he did was make Siddurim to make sure that people understood that Peah, right, and I guess you could say Meister Rishon, and Meister Sheni can all be put in one category. While all the Mishnayos that deal with damages should go into another category called Bava Kama. And all the Mishnayos that deal with lost items or dealings with one person the other, or maybe land, would be in from Messiah. And each person would have certain things that they would get, that they would go through, in which they would understand, here's the halachos that each thing needs to be in. That's how Rebbe Yehuda Nasi put it together. But creating the Mishnayos, for the most part, were already created. There were just additions the Rebbe had to do, edits the Rebbe had to make, certain ideas, and siddurim the Rebbe Yehuda Nasi, together with those Talmidei Chachamim, were able to do. So you need both. You definitely need both. And both of them were extremely important. Okay. Now that we have that, we can understand a sifra in last week's parsha. It says, Ushmartem ba'asisem osam. You have to keep and do everything that Hashem told you to do. Ushmartem, says the sifra, refers to Mishnah. Ba'asisem, you should do, refers to Maisa. Shmira, the fence, so to speak, is a fence to keep us in. And that's what Mishnah is. It's reining us in. The Inyanim, which are everywhere, and you could have stuff all over the place. The Shmira, what the point of Mishnayos was, is to rein us in. Put us within a little bit of a boundary, and say, but everything has to fit into the categories that we have within Mishnayos. And the general rules that everyone memorized, that everyone knew. It's part of the reason why, you'll see quite often in the Gemara, when people quote, you know, say something, and the person asks, how can you say that? There's a Mishnah against you. A Mishnah was problematic, because everyone had to know the Mishnayos Baal Peh. Brisos, not everybody knew. There were random statements of Tanayim that people didn't know about. And when a Brisa was made, a person could very easily say, I didn't know that. I had no idea that that statement was out there, that that Tana felt that way. I wouldn't have argued had I known what this was going to be. But the idea is like this. It's a Shmira. It's a fence. But that's all the Mishnayos are. You cannot paskin based on a Mishnah. Anybody know what it says about somebody who paskin is based on Mishnayos? It's Gemara and Sanhedrin, but it's also mentioned somewhere else. You're Mevale Oyla. You destroy the world from Paskin from a Mishnah. Because the point is, that's not what a Mishnah was for. A Mishnah was not for Paskinning. A Mishnah was not for the details. The Mishnah was only there, to help you remind yourself of the basic ideas that the Inyanim knew everything about. And if you did it correctly, you could take the Mishnah, remind you of the Machlokesim, and then get to what you needed to know in each case. That was the idea behind it. And if we understand it this way, then it makes sense why Hillel did what he did. Hillel learned a nusach from his Rebbe Shmaya Naftali, Rabbeim Shmaya Naftali. And Shmaya Naftali could not pronounce the words correctly. Couldn't pronounce the words correctly. They were saying the word in, Aleph Yud Nun, when referring to a hin, a he Yud Nun. And they couldn't pronounce it. They were trying so hard to say it the right way, but they couldn't. Hillel, when telling over the Mishnah, says the Rambam, had to say it exactly as his Rebbe said it. Says the Rambam, this is not an Indian of Kavod Rabo, to quote your Rebbe exactly as it is. Chayim Adam Lomar B'Lashon Rabo. They have to say it in the language of your Rebbe. It's not an issue of Kavod Rabo. It's not an honor if he messed it up, but it's a foundation of this type of Mesorah, that the Nusach has to be exactly as you heard it. Exactly as you heard it. And from there, you can say, by the way, I know I just said the word in, but it really means the word kin. That's what you can tell them. And that's the Gemara on top of the Mishnah. Now you somewhat understand why sometimes you'll see the Gemara say, Chatsuri Machsara V'Hachi Ketani. There's something missing, so you have to read it this way. So tell me guys, if it's missing, then why didn't they put it into the Mishnah? Why didn't they rewrite that Mishnah and put it in? It's missing. You can't understand the Mishnah that way. There's no way to understand it that way. So if you can't understand it, then change the Mishnah. Change it. Make it back to the way it was. The answer is, we can't. Even if it's not understandable, even if it doesn't make any sense to us, Mishnayos cannot be changed. Not a word of it can be changed. Gemara is different. Mishnayos cannot be changed. No matter what happens, it's got to remain the way it is. I don't know. I'd like to see if there's a Hagos HaBach on any part of a Mishnah. I'd like to see it. Does the Bach ever correct a Mishnah? Corrects Gemaras all the time, that we know. Who put something here, put something there. But according to this idea, the Bach doesn't have permission to make a Haggol on a Mishnah. To make a correction on a Mishnah. First one to find something, that's an amazing idea. That goes against what Ruah Wasserman is saying. I don't know if it's fully against, I guess it depends on how you look at it. But that's the idea, the concept is right there. There's no way to change it, you can't do it. But it doesn't make any sense. So write it in as Chasuri Master Valentine. It would be like me telling you, here's what I'm saying, but you should know, I'm only saying that because that's what I'm quoting from my Rebbe. There's an addendum to that. Let me tell you now the addendum. That's what it would be like. That's the Nusach idea. That's really what the beginning of the Mishnayos and Peah are for. Where the way the Mishnayos and Peah are worded is, so to speak, as if to say, here's what we're going to do. And does anybody know how Peah starts? You all know it. You just don't realize it. Elu Dvarim She'ein Lem Shir HaPeah Vabikurim V'Ra'alion V'Agimilos Kosad. What does that have to do with Peah? Well, yes, Peah is in there. Elu Dvarim She'ein Lem Shir. But really, the beginning of Peah should just start off and say, Peah Ein Lo Shir. That's a great Mishnah, and it's really short. It'd be perfect. But the reason why is because Rebbe knew that Mishnah. The Mishnah already existed. He took it and placed it at the beginning of Peah. That's what he did. He put it over there. But that was a Mishnah that already existed, that everybody already knew. That's the concept. So the Rambam says that Hillel knew the wording was a bit off, but he couldn't say anything but what his Rebbe said exactly, and if he needed to correct it later, he would correct it a little bit later. Because that's what this memorization was for. That's how the Rambam understands. The Gruz says that's not it. You are allowed to change minor things. Like Shmaya and Eftalion, who knew that their language was a bit off, made sure to add on the word mole, so that people understood what they were saying was not in Aleph Yud Nun, but in Hey Yud Nun. And they added on the word mole to make sure that people understood what they were basically saying. He kept the word mole in there, and Hillel's shot is that you keep the word mole. Even though the rabbis only added on the word mole so that people understood what they were saying, Hillel kept that word in there in the Mishnayos, because that's what you've heard from is Rebbe, he's not going to change it. Even the Grug agrees, you cannot change that wording that you heard from the Rebbe. Now, you can somewhat understand the beginning of Pirkei Avos Parak Vav. Let's give a little bit of a history lesson behind that as well. First five Prakim of Pirkei Avos are clear Mishnayos, and they go very, very simply. Everybody understands the first five Prakim of Mishnayos of Pirkei Avos. That's that. The sixth Parak of Pirkei Avos is awfully weird. Really, really weird. It's not written like any other Mishnah. It's not written, it's almost like a Gemara. Almost like an addendum. It doesn't look like anything else. The wording is different, everything is different about the sixth parak of Pirkei Avos. Okay? But the pshat is, in the beginning of it, there's a wording that just, it strikes you. And it says, after, and you all know, if every Pirkei Avos, Kol Yisrael Yishlam Chelek Olam Haba, etc., that's what it says in front of everything over here. So it says like this, right before the Mishnah starts, there's a line, Shanu Chachamim Bilshon HaMishnah. The Chachamim learned in the Lashon of the Mishnah. Baruch Shabbat Rav Hamu V'Mishnasam. Blessed is Hashem who chose them and their Mishnayos. These are not Mishnayos. They're not Mishnayos. The reason why the word is so weird is because it isn't. It was Shonu Chachamim Bilshona Mishnah, in the language of what the Mishnah would be. But it's not an actual Mishnah itself. The Chachamim taught something. They can't add on to what was already made. They couldn't make another Mishnah. But they could make something in the Lashon of a Mishnah itself, to make it seemingly like a Mishnah. It's, so to speak, a Braisa. Something different. That's the idea. That's why Rav Chiya Rav Yosha, after Rav Yehuda Hanasi finished his Mishnayos, created the Tosefta. Tosefta means what? Literally, what does Tosfos mean? Additions. They are additions to what was already there. They're additions, but separate entirely. They are not Mishnayos. Even the Rav Chiya may have argued to Rebbe and said, no, this should be a pure Mishnah. He said, it's Toseftos. Those are the Mishnahs. Those are the ones that are officially learned in that way, and this is a little bit different. So granted, how does that help you in your daily life? How does it help you in your everyday life? I can't tell you. This is not going to make you clean your room. It's not going to make you, you know, decide to make a bracha on food. That I mean, it might. It'd be weird, but it's possible. But that's probably not what it's going to do. But to at least know where the Mishnah is and where Gemara comes from is an important idea in and of itself, and how our Mesorah has been brought down in those two ways of Nuschos and in Yonim. At least to get that concept down. Such an important idea. If you have any questions about that, I'm sure you do. You can come up to me afterward. But that's it for right now.